Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to another Eating with Zion's Trumpet. Yours truly, Brother Daniel. How's everybody doing this week out there in Pow Talk Land? Everybody doing good? Good, good, good. Okay, let's see. Does anybody have anything to share? I'm not going to do any songs this week because we got pretty many people want to share. And I was going to play something if I got time. So anybody in the room have anything to start off with or share quick? Let's see. Looks like Kimberly. You got the mic, Kim. Go ahead.
Hi, can you guys hear me? Oh, good. I'm actually not going to share anything, but Christy and Joy have something to share.
Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. You may talk about your king of Gideon, you may talk about your men of Saul, but there's none like good old Joshua at the battle of Jericho. That morning, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down.
Okay, that's it.
Okay, good. Good job, Christy. Joy. All right. Let's see. Sister Irma. Go ahead, Sister Irma. You have the mic.
You know, I'm having trouble again with my computer tonight. And the only reason I was getting on, because I was mad at Satan last week when he tried to get a victory, and I could not get on. So now I'm going to get on and say what I was going to last night, because I'm not, I just do not want to give place to the enemy. So here it goes. Since I believe, and I said before, Steve is under strong delusion, I think he should change his name, his program, to Unsound Doctrine. This may sound harsh. However, the time is here to put on that whole armor of God and proclaim the truth, fight the battle of deception, and help set the captives free. I was under delusion, believing false doctrines of men, and was glorious set free by receiving and walking in truth. Now, when I see these false teachers believing and teaching lies, and knowing these are the working of evil spirits, I cry out to God, quote, help me be strong in battle against these anti-truth, anti-Christ spirits in the days of these false teachers. I thank God, Dan, that you are like one crying out in these days of gross darkness, quote, do not give heed to seducing doctrines of devils, unquote. You are a strong warrior, and this is what I choose to be. I love the truth you share with us. God wants us to have all his fullness, and that means all of his truth, all of his wisdom, all of his understanding. And we can have them if we humble ourselves, open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears. Psalm 91:4, quote, truth is our shield and buckler, unquote. It sets us free and keeps us from Satan's deception. Thank God that Zion's trumpet is marching on with truth. That's all I have, Dan. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Irma. I appreciate that. God bless you. Looks like we got Jamie. Go ahead, Jamie. You got the mic.
Well, this is the first time with this computer. Yeah, can you hear me okay? Is it loud enough? All right. Good. Good. Thanks. I want to say hello to everybody again. As I was saying last week, I was hoping that I was going to be able to share what the Lord's been doing in me in the past several months. And I'm just hoping that somebody can glean a little something from this tonight. It's not very long. There has been a theme the last several months that the Lord's really been making real to me, and it boils down to two words for me, and it's faithfulness and endurance. I listened again to John Clark's message that Dan played last Sunday, and by the time I got to the end, I was just plain weeping. John summed it up this way, and he was saying, when the scripture says many are called but few are chosen, it simply means that those who are not chosen haven't placed a premium on their calling. But being chosen doesn't guarantee you this inheritance. But I'll tell you what it does do for you. It makes you a candidate. He went on to say, we need to be very serious about our calling, and that we need to have faithfulness to hear the voice of God and faithfulness to obey that voice of God. Towards the end of John's message, he was talking about answering that call by saying to the Lord, call me, I would run after thee. And Dan sang a song once, and it's called, I believe, Draw Me. And in the song lyrics, it says, draw me, I would run after thee. Draw me, I would run after thee. And at the end of the song, it says, do you know the meaning of this song? Is your heart surrendered all day long? Is your understanding open to understand the place of dwelling on high? As I see people go after the things of this world with such a hot pursuit of a nicer home, a better car, and a more comfortable life, or it might just be a pursuit to hang on to what they already have. As I see them and the pursuit they have, I want to go after the Lord and the spiritual riches that the Lord gives with the same and even more of a hot pursuit. In the past, I was fearful to give everything to the Lord in complete surrender and draw close to Him. And you may be asking why. I don't really know, but I can say that the Lord made me realize something far more frightening, and that is to be left to the world and what this world has to offer, or Satan and what he has to offer, or self and what self has to offer. I realized my faith was so weak and my unbelief so very strong. The Lord made it real to me that I was not trusting completely in Him for His help to overcome any obstacle, anything that would stand in my way of running after Him. I'll end with this small excerpt that I had in this little devotional I've had for years, and I had found this a while back and I wanted to share it. Quote, a ship came to rescue a man marooned on a small Pacific island. But he refused to go. He had a pet monkey, which he would not leave behind, and the ship's regulations would not allow it on board. Many a man is marooned on the small island of sinful self and longs to be free. Christ comes and offers to set him free, but he says, if I become a Christian, I would have to give up this habit or that friendship. All the wide world of Christ's kingdom lies open to him, but he prefers to stay penned up with his narrow selfhood, clutching to himself some pet sin he will not surrender. End quote. And we might be tempted to look at that and be thinking of the unsaved, but I had to look at it and place myself in that position and ask, why would I stay penned up or bound by anything with the whole wide world of Christ's kingdom before me? And I just want to share that I refuse any more to have unbelief or having a lack of endurance to stop me or to trip me up any longer. So just wanted to share that little bit, and thanks for listening, everybody. God bless.
Amen, Jamie. Good word. It's good testimony. Good for you. Keep in the race. Keep in the battle. Hey, there's K-Men's. How you doing, K-Men's? Still on vacation? Let's see. Anybody else in the room? Oh, vacation's over. Okay. Well, we had a guest this week. One of the sisters that comes in this room sometimes. Her name is Jenna Ray. And she's come to visit us and get some encouragement, spiritual encouragement. So she wanted to give a little testimony. I'll just let her talk. I won't say anything else. Just speak in the mic there. That's all you got to do.
Okay, so hi, Irma, Kim, Josiah, Jan, K-Men's Marathon and Dreamer. I have a good news to share with you. God is so good, and he is faithful to show us what we need to hear. I thought that the past 7 years that I was born again and following the Lord, but as the Lord revealed these past few days, I had a false conversion to a religious spirit, not the true Jesus. It started with a home church that my family was involved with, which was actually a cult. I tagged along, and I guess I pretended to get saved, but I had not repented from my sin. They baptized me and laid hands on me to receive the Holy Spirit. To me, it was a game, and I didn't know how great the danger was, because Satan doesn't play fair. It was a powerful religious spirit, and after we left that group, which was the cult, because I didn't know it was evil and did not renounce that whole situation, that spirit never left. And so it was able to give me another experience of I thought I had repented and that I thought I had given my life to Jesus. But in fact, I had not. I was simply following that religious spirit. I definitely had a change in my life outwardly and inwardly. I dressed more modestly and I had the fruit of the Spirit, patience, joy, peace, kindness. I separated from people who that Spirit wanted me to separate from, and I asked that false Jesus about everything. I was definitely being transformed into that false Jesus. So, I'm very thankful to now know, and not later, that I have repented of all of that, and now I am in the kingdom of God, and I am a new creation. I have asked Jesus for forgiveness, and I want the real Jesus and the real Holy Spirit. I know that if I obey and die to self, which I am continuing to learn about, I will be covered and protected. And also today I was baptized, and it was so wonderful and such a blessing, and I'm so thankful to everyone here, Dan and Annabelle, Joey, Seth, Cameron, Pam and Kim, and Jamie. Thank you for the truth, and thank you for your willingness to help me. I want to press in and go on in Jesus. I've had a taste of the battles I will have to fight. I've had lots of thoughts of doubt, and have already come about whether or not I am saved, or if I've truly repented, but I need to stop those thoughts immediately and take those thoughts captive and put them under my feet. If I'm going to get to the finish line, I have to fight for it and never let anything come between me and Jesus. Not things or people. Neither must I become lax. I have to search my heart and really look at myself, my motivations, my habits, and everything. Nothing can be off limits. So, God willing, I will be brutally honest with myself and get to the bottom of everything. So I want to give thanks to Jesus, and I'm so grateful, and praise God. I'm very happy that I came, and so I hope this helps someone else as well.
Amen. Thank you, Jenna. God bless her. You keep her in prayer. She's going to be leaving Tuesday. We took her down to the river today and baptized her, and it was a blessing. We sang some songs, and Joey and I baptized her, and she's come along good. You can praise the Lord. We got another one out of the devil's clutches. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you again, Jenna. That was a good testimony. Anybody else in the house ready to share anything that's on your heart? You got Cameron first. Okay.
Thank you, Dan. All right. Hi, everybody. I want to share something that the Lord has put on my heart. It's about Zach Poonen. First, I'd like to start off, he was a blessing to my life when I was first saved. I listened to his messages and they blessed me so much. It was a springboard for me to get to where I am now. So this Friday, we heard that Zach Poonen was coming up here to Pennsylvania to speak, and I wasn't going to miss it. So we went there, and when he was speaking, I would have to say, guys, that we were so grieved to hear him speak. He was once anointed, and I would have to say, guys, that he's not anointed any longer. There's a Bible verse in here in 2 Peter, I do believe chapter 1, verse 12. I will read it. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in present truth. Well, he's not established in present truth. He does not have the anointing anymore. Yeah, back in when the children of Israel had the tabernacle, when God dwelt in there and he was ready to move, and the children of Israel wouldn't go, if they didn't go with him, they would miss God. Well, that's how I feel that Zach Poonen is, that he does not have the anointing. He's missing the present truths of the third feast. I'm very sad to say that about this brother. And also, I want to say about the people that were there too, I couldn't believe the way they were. It's almost as if they don't care about what he teaches. It's so simple of words, and they don't care. They sit there and they play games. It just made us grieve so bad on Friday night. Well, thank you all. That's all I wanted to share.
Okay. Thank you. Let me say this about Brother Zach. He's been given material about the third feast. He's been given material that it would encourage him to understand that Christians can have a demon. And he emphatically denies that the third feast is for today. And he denies that Christians can have demons. You can't go into perfection without dealing with the demons. It's not good enough to die to self. It's not good enough just to separate from the world and even die to self. You have to separate from the world. You have to die to self. And to fight the demons that are part of our lives. And if you reject any of those truths, you're not going to go into tabernacles. You're not going to be in a flow in the Spirit. And you might have truth, but you won't have the anointing because the river has moved on and you're to the side of the banks. You're no longer in the center of the stream. It's changed direction and you're stuck in your doctrine. You're stuck in your position and the river changes course and you're on the banks of the river. And I believe that's what's happened to Zach. That doesn't mean he's no longer a Christian. It just means he's losing his anointing because he's not going on with God. Okay? Let's see. It looks like we got Brother Joey's next.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Hi, Irma and everyone else in the room. I appreciate that testimony from Jenna Ray. And so, first of all, I just wanted to share a little bit something about my experience this week. And, of course, again, I wanted to congratulate Jenna Ray for her humility and submission to the Lord and his word in water baptism today. So it was a pretty special day for everyone here. I guess Jenna was the first, very first baptism around here in the fellowship. So it was pretty nice, very special. God was glorified today in a special way. So anyway, God bless you, Sister Jenna, and may the Lord give you all the strength you need to work out your own salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Anyway, this week was kind of a challenging one for me personally. The Lord was dealing with me about some things concerning the Adamic soul as I've been meditating on the Lord about Jacob and his journey to Bethel. One thing for sure, it is in God's very high priority that we all walk in the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a top priority to God because it is only the life and the righteousness of His Son that we produce in our lives that will please the Father in making us worthy to be considered as one of His overcoming sons and not just a bunch of little children, especially for those who's been hearing the Lord's invitation to go on to perfection. And so the Lord was dealing with me this week about some things concerning speaking the truth in love, exalting the truth in love above, you know, basically above my very own life, above everything, you know, for the sake of the Lord's kingdom, and not being a compromiser in delivering the mind of the Lord to a brother or sister, for the sake of edification and exhortation and encouragement, deliverance, and so on and so forth. And so I realized that compromising the truth can be a very, very dangerous thing, which is basically rooted in selfishness, love of self, and pride for those who practice it without repentance. And so it kind of made me pull some hairs off my head in prayer and repentance in the midst of my fight to overcome in order to get my head on right and, of course, to get my heart right for the sake of pressing on to actually living and walking in the likeness of the Lord, which hopefully all of us in this room are still endeavoring to press on as we consider and count the cost that comes with the spiritual victory and rewards that the Lord is inviting us into. So may the Lord help us to not just desire for God's best, but actually doing something with that desire, which means to be willing and ready to let go of whatever the Lord wants us to let go in order to be able to grab a hold of what God has for us in order to follow the Lamb wherever He goes. So that's all I had to say. Amen. Back to Dan.
Good share. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. Anybody else? No? Nobody else? Okay. Well, that was good. Good sharing. Let's see. Jenna Ray was the first one in our girls' dorm. I don't know if y'all went to my website. I put up a little slideshow of the girls' dorm and the family dorm as they're building what it looks like, kind of. She's the first one in there to stay in that part of the barn. So it was a blessing to have her. She's a good sister. She was repentant. She was easy to work with. So we were blessed by her. Well, I was going to play something this week for you guys. It's another John Jeffries message. I feel it's kind of pertinent for today. God really has to deal work with us to humble us and bring forth humility in us. So this is a little message he gave 1 year on humility, the power of humility. It's short and sweet, to the point. It's only, I think, about 35 minutes long or something. But it's a good word, and I thought you might all be edified by it. So I'm going to play that for you as soon as I get my little system switched over.
Amen. Let's be seated together. One of the things I did not too long ago, I afflicted the fruit tree out in front of my house with a saw from Sears. But it wasn't just to the end of afflicting it. It was to bring forth fruit. It's an apricot tree. When God starts to afflict the people, it's because He's very near to them. And He doesn't afflict us just to afflict us, but the same God that smites also heals. And the only reason He's afflicting us is He's bringing us in to a closer place in Him than we could ever have before the affliction. There's one thing I've been thinking about here while I was sitting on the platform. There's one thing you can't argue with. That's fruit. You can argue with words, and you can argue with doctrines, and you can argue with differences of ideas, and you can't argue with fruit. I remember reading in T.L. Osborne, some city down in Central America, where he gave an altar call, and no one at all responded on the first night. And then he held his hand up, and he said, "The altar is now closed." And that no one is invited to come to the altar to receive the Lord. Instead, I invite all lame, all blind, all halt. And out of that congregation, out of that great auditorium, came some of the worst beggars that were commonly known and had been seen out there in the streets. And several of them were miraculously healed in front of everyone's eyes. And the next night, the building was packed. You can't argue with fruit. It's like a story I recently read of the young man that was arrested in the streets of a city in this country for selling eternal youth pills. They booked him. But when they did, they found out he had been previously arrested for the same offense on 3 different occasions. once in 1791, once in 1823, and once in 1911. The Father is glorified if we bear much fruit. He's after fruit. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles 7:14. I guess I'm wrong. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14. Yes, it is. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Well, we read, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And the key there is that we must pray. And as we pray, God's going to heal our land. But there's a key to the key. That the thing that gets us to pray is that we must first humble ourselves. And if we don't humble ourselves and pray, then we're not going to pray at all. So turn with me to James chapter 4. I've come to see that prayer is really, my true definition of prayer is my dependence upon God. I pray in the direct ratio to how I'm dependent upon God. On the other hand, my prayerlessness is an expression of my independence from God. And what I see in humility is that humility is not some vague thing that we shouldn't talk about, because if you talk about it, you really don't have it. It's like the man that wrote the book Humility and How I Attained It. It's just too slippery. You can't talk about it. But humility is an attitude that we must have, and it's an attitude primarily of dependence upon God. I looked up that Hebrew word back in 2 Chronicles, and Strong's, that word for humble, and what it means is to bend the knee. It means to humiliate, to vanquish, to bring down low, into subjection, to come under, to humble self and to subdue. And when I'm afflicted, I'm drawn nigh unto God. Sometimes it takes affliction of soul, but when I am, I'm drawn nigh unto God. And that's what humility is. That's why he's afflicting us. He's drawing us nigh unto him, that we might come, have the blessed opportunity of coming into 100% dependence upon God. When we pray from that place, he will hear, for he will see the fruit. In verses 6 through 10 of James 4, it says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. That means that when we move in that attitude of surrender to him, no longer doing things by our own will, our own volition, our own desires, but are submitting ourselves unto him, he gives us more grace. But on the other hand, it also means that when I'm not moving in that attitude, when I move in a wrong attitude, I'm bearing the wrong kind of fruit on the wrong tree, and I'm moving in that pride, and God literally is resisting me. I wonder how much of my walk God is still resisting me in. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The whole key is to submit ourselves, therefore, to God. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. There's something in God that when we draw nigh to him, he must draw nigh to us. It's irresistible to God. We want to see why in a minute. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Brother Jack Enlow just ministered very recently in the Lubbock body, and he was talking about the feast. And he said, I believe we're in the Day of Atonement, and the characteristic of the Day of Atonement is to be afflicted, to do no work and to be afflicted. And in that affliction, we're to be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let our laughter be turned to mourning and our joy to heaviness until this dealing is done and this pruning is done, that the fruit may come forth. And then it says in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Well, if the key to drawing nigh to God and the key to all the dealings that he's bringing to us is humility, then I might find myself crying out, oh God, humble me. But verse 10 says, the answer comes back to me each time. It says, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. God often creates the circumstances to convince us that we ought to humble. But in the end, it's our choice. I can change the attitude of my heart. I can change it. Sometimes I need to be a little convinced, helped along. But in the end, the one that changes it is me. Turn to 1 Peter 5, 5, I think. 1 Peter 5, 5. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Yes, that does mean that he resists the proud and the unregenerate of the earth. But it also, first of all, to the Jew first, it means that he resists the proud right down inside of his. And when I move in that wrong attitude, the God that I was flowing with 1 minute is resisting me, just like I can have my arm around my son 1 minute and could be resisting him the next, all over the attitude of his heart. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And therefore, it says to be clothed with humility. We can literally put humility on. Humility is a clothing, and I decide if I'm going to put it on or not. I decide whether I'm going to have that attitude, and God is working to bring forth that kind of fruit so that it's a nature in it. There's some things that humility does. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs for a moment.